Today we come to the end of our series, Gifts of Love, a series on giving from the heart. Through this series, we've explored ideas connecting our thankful, generous hearts with open, generous hands.
We began, Jody began our series, recalling Jesus summarizing the law of God, and Jesus reminding us how intrinsically the spiritual is connected with the physical. The love of God and the love of neighbor are always tied together, so much so that we cannot say that we love God and we ignore the needs of our neighbors. 2 weeks ago on Remembrance Day, we talked about the cost of love. We remembered the sacrifice of so many who served their neighbors in armed conflicts of the past on Remembrance Day. And we remembered also Jesus' words, "Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends." And we remembered the gift of the widow, who in the temple gave sacrificially and put her full reliance upon God. And we remembered how Jesus pointed to her example as one of great faith. Last week, well, I really had no idea what Brian did with you last week, but I can guess because I asked him to do certain things. But, you know, who knows, right? He preached on the Hebrews passage that reminds us that God's love has given gifts to the church. God has given gifts to us, the gift of Christ, our great high priest, and the gift of the Holy Spirit that writes the law of God, the law of love on our hearts. And the teacher of the Hebrews calls us in the church to live out that law of love as we provoke one another to love and good deeds, to meet together, to show up for one another, to be there for one another, to be committed not only to our own growth in the practices of faith, but to be committed to the growth of others. And in order to do that, you have to show up. You have to be there for your brother and sister in Christ. The teacher reminded us that in God's economy of love, we've got a responsibility to one another. Not a responsibility that's motivated out of guilt or coercion, but one motivated out of love and gratitude. Today is a special day for a number of reasons. Today is the last day of the liturgical year, as next Sunday we begin a whole new cycle of the seasons with the first Sunday of Advent. Today is observed on the Christian calendar as the Reign of Christ Sunday, a day when the church especially affirms the universal and eternal reign of Christ as the Lord and King of all creation. Ultimately, this day contains within itself a kind of paradox, a kind of dichotomy. On the one hand, today is about anticipating the eventual future return of Christ, the future when God's reign will be complete over all of creation, the time when the mission of God will at last be complete and all things will be redeemed. But on this day, we also acknowledge that Christ, who is already present with us in the Spirit, rules and reigns and governs our very lives today. The kingdom is here. In other words, we live in the tension between the Christ who is to come again and the Christ who is already present among us, the kingdom that is coming and the kingdom that is here, the reign that is not yet and the reign that has begun. And so we live in this in-between time. And it's worth mentioning when I say those words that the title of our Advent and Christmas series is going to be Living in Between. It is our job as Christians to live both in expectation and responsibility, to live in the hope of the establishment of God's kingdom through Christ, and to live in the present reality of seeking and doing the work of Christ, participating in God's work in our day and time. We live with our eyes fixed on the future hope, but with our hands active in the present. Our reading from the Revelation of John. It helps to be careful when we read from the book of Revelation. And one reason is that the important dichotomy that we've spoken about this morning disappears if we simply read the book of Revelation as though it is exclusively about the future, as many people do read that book. That sort of reading can lead to a kind of apathy and laziness in the face of the many crises and important issues that we face in our community and in our world today. After all, if we believe that all of the violence and chaos in our world today were merely signs of the end times, wars and rumors of wars, then our motivation for doing our part and participating in God's redemptive work, where does that come from? Why should we bother trying to stop violence? Why should we bother working to create a better world, a more flourishing community, a better neighborhood for all? Why trouble ourselves if we believe that the increasing crisis around the environment or global poverty or disease and suffering of all kinds are simply some part of God's end game for human history, somehow part of God's plan? Why then would we fight against the long slide? Well, God doesn't call us, we know. God doesn't call us to be spectators in the world's troubles. God's at work to redeem the world, and we're invited to join in that mission. We're agreed on that. And so we're called to be agents of love and healing and hope and justice over and against all of the evil and destruction forces that are at work in the world. And let's not be naive about the forces of evil and destruction and just how deeply they've got their grip on the world and even upon each of us. The community to which John was delivering this message, this revelation, was a community which itself was under intense persecution by the Roman Empire. They were people who died as a result of their profession of faith in Christ. And as a result, they had to meet in seclusion and secrecy. They gathered together with some anxiety and fear hanging over them. They lived out their faith in Christ under the threat of death. And so this book of Revelation is therefore filled with veiled language that acknowledges the terror of the empire, and which names Caesar and the Roman military and the government establishment with colorful, dreamlike, terrifying language. The book of Revelation is filled with all this fanciful language. It's speaking about the threats of their own day. And in contrast to this vivid yet complex imagery that fills the book of Revelation, there is a simple theme that runs throughout the book as a message to the Christian church, then and today. And it's simply this: don't give up. Hope is coming. Victory is at hand. God is victorious. Have patience. Endure. Persevere. And so if we read the book of Revelation in that light, it becomes less a book about end times and more a word of comfort for disciples in all of times. And let's not forget that we live in a time when demonic forces of violence and injustice and oppression assault us from all sides. In our time, these forces of evil go by different names, and they have subtle ways of temptation, but they still have their effects: greed and power. And we see the tragic effects of these forces with our neighbors who go without adequate food or shelter. We see the effects in the environmental degradation that is widespread and threatening the survival of most species on the planet. We feel their effects when we ourselves are tempted to fear others and hunker down and just protect our own rather than open our hands in generosity and work together with others for the common good of all. One of the favorite plays of these forces in our own day is to tell people of faith that they should keep their religion to themselves, that they should hunker down in fear, that there's no place for faith in the public square. When we listen to that call, We are tempted to mute our convictions about peace and justice and forgiveness, or our talk about a better world that God desires for us. Our prophetic words that call for change for the common good become muffled. So enter into that situation, the book of Revelation of John, to call us as a church to persevere as witnesses of Christ's love. John has a strong, challenging word for us in the church today. And it reminds us that Jesus Christ is King, King of all time. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says Jesus. The King of all time, the King of all people. And so do we identify ourselves with this persecuted church? Do we identify ourselves with this suffering king? Are we in a position of privilege and prestige and self-made power? Or are we in the position of sacrificial, self-giving love? On this Reign of Christ Sunday, we give ourselves again to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and seek to be found in his way. May his reign rule in us, in his people, and increasingly in our world. And let's take hope in that future that God is giving us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.